I'm thoroughly convinced that I'll be probably in the book of 1 John to the day that I die. I'm thoroughly convinced of that, that I will be. Well, Pastor, don't you read anything else? Yes, I do. 1 Peter is opening up like you wouldn't believe about being in subjection to the Lord. My God, if we can grasp what it means to be in subjection, to clothe ourselves with humility through the first four chapters of the book of 1 Peter, we'll walk being exalted in all that we do. If we can just learn what it means to be in subjection one to another and to clothe ourselves with humility, if we can just learn that, and it's coming to life in me, and I'm so excited about the book of 1 Peter. Basically, within 2 minutes, if we can't submit to each other in here, we won't submit to the unsaved in the world. All of that is a fruit because men and women choose not to subject themselves to the word of truth, to the incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. Basically, a man or woman that does not subject himself to all people is a man or woman that walks outside of that inner witness. Can you prove it? Yes, I can prove it, but another day. I mean, it is opening up to me to a T about humbling yourself and subjecting you, being subject one to another. It's just completely opening up to me, and I'm just so tickled pink that the first four chapters of 1 Peter, along with some of chapter 5 that tells me and you how to clothe ourselves with humility, how to be sober and how to be vigilant. Because we all know that our adversary, the devil, walketh around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But we are to resist him, what? In the faith. I'm telling you, there's something there that's working in my spirit. I just can't wait till I completely, through the Holy Ghost, unlock this. But I'm so convinced that 1 John is vital. See, John, the Apostle John, wrote those 5 chapters out of koinonia with Christ. He laid in his bosom. He walked with Christ for 3.5 years, and his teachings in 1 John 1 through 5 and 2 John parallel the teachings of John in the teachings of the Apostle John and 1 John and 2 John parallel the teachings of Christ in the Gospel of John. Another little tidbit here, and it took me 10 years to realize this. 2 John can also help you break 1 John. It can help you. Read 2 John before you read 1 John. Read it 5. It's only one chapter. Surely you can at least read that 7-8 times a day and then go into 1, and it'll help you tremendously how to get an understanding of 1 John. Amen? I'm so convinced that John, the Apostle John, wrote 1 John out of his koinonia, out of his intimacy with Christ Jesus. He wrote what Jesus in his humanity walked in. A man born of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, hundredfold. Jesus fulfilled all that John is trying to teach me and you to walk in. That's why Jesus, in his humanity, not in his deity, in his humanity. I like what Pastor said the other day. It's, what did you say about him holding the deity? What dormant? What did you say, Pastor? Yeah. In other words, he did not utilize it whatsoever. All his humanity. I mean, you got to understand what Pastor, that was an awesome statement. I mean, he didn't lean on his deity to say no to the world. He did it as a human being. And if that's the case, then me and you can rejoice because we're born of the Father. Jesus was born of the Father, and we're joint heirs with him. And Jesus performed and fulfilled Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those miracles that were recorded in those 4 books were because Jesus was love. Like Pastor, like Gary says, he was love on legs, is what Jesus was. He was love on legs. And I'm so convinced that if we can grasp, I think it's the will of the Father that every single saint download 1 John. Download 1 John, because if we can grasp and come to comprehend and allow 1 John to renew our hearts and our minds and to edify our spirit, it has been so easy for me through the meditation and assimilation, how Pastor Dave teaches us, through praying in the Holy Ghost only through that. Look, I've heard a lot of people try to preach God's word outside of their prayer language, and my God, I'll stop there. I'm getting nicer in my old age. But I'm thoroughly convinced that revival lies in 1 John. Knowing that we can love how he asks us to love because we're born of love, knowing that we can love at all times is so vital and pivotal to us receiving an outpouring and to offer up what Christ Jesus has for the saints. I'm telling you, it's vital. It's doing wonders in my life. I feel it's doing wonders in my life, and I just can't wait to partake of it again tomorrow. 1 John is the book of love, and don't you know that we are born of love? And if you're born of love, you can't do nothing but carry out the love that you're born out of. We have been born again, my friends. Amen? We're going to be a little bit in 1 John chapter 5 and in the book of Jude. We're going to add a little dimension to the book of Jude. We're going to pair it out a little bit with 1 John chapter 5. I won't keep you long. Ring the bell real quick, honey. When that goes off, it's time to quit. It's scheduled to go off at 9:30 as a timer. So, but 1 John chapter 5, I've been going through it a long time. We're going to add a little extra more. There's a little bit more revelation to it than I preached before. And it just, that's the way 1 John is working in my spirit. It's just adding more and more and more from glory to glory. And I love it. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, John writes, and again, we're going to be in Jude, in our favorite verse in the book of Jude. Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Anyway, we'll go there in a little bit. But we're going to parallel the two tremendously. And maybe you've seen it before, maybe not. But if you hadn't seen it, you're going to see it tonight. John records in 1 John chapter 5, he said, whosoever. How many of you in here are whosoevers? Well, we got a whole bunch of whosoevers, right? John records in 1 John chapter, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus, and again, if I miss a word, I think you'll pardon me and you'd excuse me. I think you will. But John records, and we're going to parallel this with the book of Jude, a certain verse in the book of Jude. I heard a man say one time, and if you have ears to hear, you'll understand what I'm going to say. You might not understand it because this might be new to you, what we teach here. I heard a man say one time, and I did not comprehend it at the time, little rabbit trail. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor. He said, I will not serve under a preacher, a teacher that doesn't pray in the Holy Ghost. Is that what Pastor Dave said one time? Have you ever heard him say that, Pastor? Something of that capacity. Not because we're better or they're any less or they're better or we're any less, because the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. He is the teacher. He and he alone is the teacher through a prayer language that not many understand. Matter of fact, 95% of the corporate body of Christ, in my opinion, present the gospel out of their natural mind, out of their own intellect. That's why there's 20,000 different churches and 20,000 different beliefs. I'm just being sarcastic. If there's one Bible, one God, and one Holy Ghost, either with 20,000 different doctors, we as men are missing it, or the Holy Ghost does not know what he's talking about. I choose to think that men are missing it. I will not put the blame on the third person of the Godhead. That's why Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than ye all, yet in the church are there pray with five words of understanding, that I might teach others also. The revelation that he got from praying in tongues, as he was edified and exhorted and comforted by it, so he passed it on to me and you. What he was taught also of the Holy Ghost, he also taught me and you. That's why he wrote 2/3 of the New Covenant, because of the revelation knowledge that he had. Anyway, the sermon isn't about tongues. But 1 John chapter 5, John records and he writes, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is what? Born of God. And he that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is begotten of him. Basically saying, Whosoever is born of God, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whosoever loveth that begat is the Father, that begat me and you, that bore us again, loveth also him that is begotten of him. Well, who else is begotten of him with me and you? Jesus. And also, he said, he that is born, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and he that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. He said, by this we know the beloved. By this we know that we love the children of God. And listen to what he says again. He says it twice. Two times he says. He said, whosoever is born of God, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. Here we go. He says it again. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. For whosoever is born of God. No, he said, for his commandments are not what? Grievous. In other words, they're not a burden to me and you. What made me and you sinners was the fact before we met Christ. What made us sinners? The fact that we sinned or the fact that we had a sin nature? The fact that we had a sin nature. Let me ask you a question. Was sin a burden to you when you had a sin nature? It wasn't a burden to me either. In fact, I was pretty good at it because I was born of sin. So how could something that lived in me, that came out of my spirit, how could that be a burden to me if I was born of that which was not a burden to me? I was born, sin was in me. Sin came out of me. It was not grievous to me. It was not a burden to me because I was born. I received the spirit from the first man, Adam. I was born unregenerate. Sin, there was no conviction in me. When I sinned, I did it, and I did it well because I had a sin nature. Now, we flip that over. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. He says it again, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And John says, and his commandments in us, his commandments in us, they are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he or she that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? A simple confession with our mouth and a belief in our heart instantaneously put his commandments in our hearts. I remember years ago when the Ten Commandments were taken down from courthouses, a lot of Christians were mad. Look, I wasn't mad. Because I don't look at the commandments on the tablet anymore. I carry the commandments in my heart. I mean, what am I going to get mad about? They abide in me. They're in me. The righteousness of the law, it's in me. The Ten Commandments, I'm born of the Father. The Ten Commandments are in me. And now that they're in me, keeping the commandments of God, since they're in me through the rebirth, then they are not a burden to me. Why? Because I've been born of God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. The world, its power, has no dominion over me because the spirit of the world, that unregenerate spirit that the world has, that spirit is not in me anymore. That's why I can overcome the world through the love of the Father that lives in me, because the world's instruction it's not in my spirit anymore, but in my spirit is the love, the spiritual DNA of the Father. I've gone from death unto life, from unrighteousness to righteousness, from a son of Satan to a son of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Nothing can hold me and you down. Why? Because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why his commandments are not a burden to me and you, because we're born out of that spiritual DNA. First Peter calls it incorruptible seed. He also calls the word of truth the glory of the Father. So the glory of the Father, the incorruptible seed, the spore of the Father, that abides in me and you, we've gone from death unto life. We can walk in all the Father has for me and you. Keeping his commandments, they're not a burden to me and you. Why? Because they abide in us. When we had a sin nature, doing what within me was not a burden to me because I had a sin nature. When I wanted to steal, cheat, fornicate, I did it with no conviction because that was what was in me. So why is it so hard at times to keep the love of the Father? It shouldn't be hard. John says they're not grievous. They're not grievous, or they're not a king. I think the New King James said they're not a burden to me and you. I choose to believe the Bible. I choose to believe what Pastor Dave said many years ago. You did it because you wanted to. Either, and I'm not exalting Pastor Dave, though I love him. I think he's one of the best, the most anointed man that I've ever seen in my life. I think he's one of the best teachers I've ever heard in my life. Yes, I'll always say that. I don't care who gets mad. That man's teachers have changed my life. That's just the bottom line. You take it how you want. Huh? I know what it's done for me, but I like what he says. You did it. If sin has no power over me and you, and the book of Romans is true, which we know it is, if sin has no dominion over me and you because we've obeyed from the heart, that doctrine was delivered to me and you, being then made free from sin, we became the slaves of God. If Romans is true, that outlines word for word that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, if those words are true, if the Bible is true, which we know it is, those 66 books are holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold, inspired of the Holy Ghost, written of the Holy Ghost. If we hold that to be true, then it's true. And that let man be a liar. But Pastor Dave says this, you did it because you wanted to. Sin has no dominion over you. One thing about 1 Peter real quick, the whole book of 1 Peter, no, not yet. Go back to 1 John. And it's good. Oh, it's so good, 1 Peter. I got to listen to my pastors. I can't preach to you what I know. I got to preach to you what I hear. So I got to abide in 1 John. He said, for this is the love of God. Remember that. For this is the love of God. By this we know, by this the family prayer center knows, by this we know that we love God. By this we know we love God when we, what? We know that we've kept the commandment. And the commandment is two part, it isn't one part. See, religion has separated the latter part, the latter end of that verse, and divided it up. You can't separate our relationship with Jesus Christ from his commandments. You can't. You can't separate it. If you separate it, basically you're not separating. You're just walking. You walked outside of the perimeters of the Spirit. You tippy-toed over into a part of us that's been positionally put to death, which is our flesh. They can't be separate. They cannot be. The commandment says if you believe that Jesus is Christ and keep his commandment, that's one. It's one thought. You cannot separate the two. That's called abiding in the unction, abiding in the new nature, abiding in the born-again spirit. You cannot separate the two. You cannot separate the two. That is the love of God. Abiding in what comes out of our spirit is the love of God. We're going to rewind a little bit, and then we're going to go into Jude a little bit. Again, 1 John chapter 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, chapter 2, that we love the children of God. This is how we know that we love each other, when we love God and keep his commandments. But he says it again, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Look, yea, born again, you're born of the Father. We're born after the image of the Father. The same spirit that Christ had living in his spirit, we have living in our spirit. He said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And he said it again, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Yea, we get born again. God gives us of his spirit. We receive a spiritual DNA. God is 100% what? So his spirit in me is what? Nothing else can come out of that part of me that was created in true righteousness and holiness. Nothing else can come out of that spirit. Throughout the day, when there's altercations, when there's whatever is at hand in our midst, we are guaranteed every single time out of our spirit is going to be the instruction of love, because nothing else can come out of that spirit but love. Nothing else can. That is for certain. But he says it twice, but this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, knowing that what comes out has to be what? It has to be kept. And we steward that. We steward what comes out. Yes, love comes out every single time. But we're reminded through 1 John, through 2 John, through Ephesians about what it is to walk in the love of God. Even 1 Peter says, brethren, love each other. Love, love, love. We're reminded throughout the scripture to abide what comes out of that born-again spirit. It comes out for me and you to keep what comes out. So we have no excuse. The commandments of God are in us. They come out of our spirit at all times. They come out of our spirit to show me and you, to teach me and you, to demonstrate, to lead me and you in what the love of God is. It just pours out of our spirit every single time. So as we give ear to what comes out of our spirit and we fulfill what comes out of our spirit, then that qualifies me and you to what? To walk in love, because we obeyed the love that came out of our spirit. Amen? Basically, you believed the new nature. You stayed inside of the unction. You remained in the Father. You remained in his sayings. You dwelled with him. You lived your day. You lived that minute. You lived that hour out of that spiritual sanctuary, that sacred place inside of you, the Holy of Holies, where our spirit has been lit. That is love. And I know I've said that millions of times, but we're going to take it one step further. That is what love is. Love is not an emotion. Love is when me and you abide and live out of that sanctuary within us where we know to do good and we do it. That is love. We can always tippy-toe now away from that born-again spirit. Take a couple steps over, if you want, into a part of us that's been positionally put to death, which is our flesh. You can steward that. You can obey that which is right, or you can tippy-toe over here and obey that which is wrong. You can do it pretty quickly, amen? But we don't want to do it pretty quick. We want to be pretty patient. And we want to do what James says. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to listen to what? The engrafted word that lives inside of me and you. So enough of that. I've told you through the teachings of 1 John to abide in love. We're going to read it again, and we're going to go over to Jude. We're going to read it again, and then we're going to slide over to Jude, and you're going to see a parallel here. John wrote, whosoever is born of God, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Here we go again. And this is the love of God. And this is the love of God. And this is the love of God. Remember that. And this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. So what is the love of God? That we what? Where do the commandments come from? Our spirit. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. For his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Because the spirit of the world, guess what? Isn't in us anymore. We overcome the world through the spirit of love that abides in me and you. You with me? Jude, an all-familiar Holy Ghost Pentecostal passage that very few understand. You know where to go to the book of Jude. It's one thing to tell you It's one thing to tell you to abide in what comes out of our spirit. It's one thing to tell you to love your brother. It's one thing to tell you to love the Father. It's one thing to tell you to love, 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 love. But one thing you will not get out of whoever preaches in this pulpit, we won't just leave you hanging. If we're going to tell you to love, then we're going to show you how to love. If we're going to tell you to have faith, then we're going to show you how to have faith. Because it does me no good to tell you to have faith if I can't show you through God's holy, undefiled word how to get it. Amen. I just might as well just shut up. You need to love. You need to love, Miss Rosie. Well, Homer, how do I love? Well, I don't know. Figure it out yourself. No, that's not the way the Bible is. Yeah. You love. You need to love, Pastor Brown. You're full of hate. Well, I know, Homer, how do I love? Don't ask me that in church, Pastor Bronk. Don't ask me that. So I'm telling you how to love. I'm instructing you how to love by preaching and teaching to you the words of John, exhorting you on what John said. I'm repeating what John said with a little bit of Mexican slang on it. Who did that? Oh, was that you, Kathy? That was Kathy. I know that was Kathy. That was Stephen. So listen to what he said. Love of God. And this is the love of God. And this is the love of God. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. How many of you know that the Ten Commandments are in us, but the bar has been raised on the Ten Commandments? The bar has been raised, my friends. It has been raised. It has been so, so raised. Raised mucho. How do you say a lot in Creole? Pompim. The bar has been raised on the Ten Commandments. Pompim. They're in us. The bar has been raised. And I really believe, too, that it's everyday commandment in our life, on how we live, on what we say, on what we do. I mean, that abides in me and you, and also through the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because a new nature, like Pastor Bronk said before, it just basically gives us a yea and a nay. Say it, don't say it. The Holy Ghost is the one that guides us into all truth. So saying all that, me telling you how to love, me repeating the words of John to love, he said, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Here we go, the book of Jude. Jude, the brother of James. We all know this. But ye, beloved, let's say it together. But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Why do we stop there? There's three or four valuable words outside of that particular verse. It says what? And what? Say it, don't be scared. Keep yourself in the love of God. He said, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And then what? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. 1 John chapter 5. And this is what? The love of God. That we keep his commandments. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Jude, but ye beloved, who else said beloved in the book of 1 John? John said beloved quite a bit. He said, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves. In the what? In the love of God. So I told you a little while ago that I would be unjust to an extent to tell you to love and not give you an instruction on how to carry out that love. I would be unjust and wrong. I would be like 99% of all the other teachers and preachers with good intentions that tell their church to love more, that tell their congregation to have more faith. But I am showing you through the book of Jude, what Jude says will keep you in the love of God. And what is the love of God? That we what? We keep his commandments. So something purposely is giving to me and you that assists us and that assists me and you and that talks me and you into that somehow, some way through the edification and exhortation and comfort process, somewhere through the crucifying the deeds of the flesh and mortifying them daily, something in us happens when we turn ourselves over to the Holy Ghost. And that verse so bears witness with my spirit. You know why? Because the more I pray in the Holy Ghost, the more I utter that language that very few know nothing about, it gets easier and easier and easier to what? To keep myself in the love of God. And if I keep myself in the love of God, then I'm keeping his what? Chapter 5. His commandments. There's something sovereign that I have that he gave me that it guarantees me every single time I turn myself over to the Holy Ghost. He said, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, pray ye in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. We established through chapter 5 that the love of God, that walking in the love of God was keeping his commandments. So as I pray in the Holy Ghost, so if I slip over into that tongue that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, my God, my friends, there's something in me working. There's something in me working that's allowing me to just abide. It gets easier and easier every day to walk in the agape of the Father. Something is given to me sovereignly by the Father. It sovereignly works. It cannot not work. It cannot not bring a peace to your life if we turn ourselves over continually to the Holy Spirit. You will be kept. You will be kept in the love of God. I heard a man say one time, and I thought he was crazy. And I'm not going to say who. You might know him, you might not. This person told me that there was something that he had never experienced in his life. And I said, yeah, right. He said, the best that I can recollect in my mind, I've never struggled with this in my life. I said, okay. I didn't comment on it. I said, okay, you know what? I can see where they're coming from. Because this prayer language will absolutely change your life. And what this person told me, it bears witness with me now because the Holy Ghost is purging junk out of me, man, that I never thought I never thought it would be loosed from me. Strongholds in my life that I never thought would go away. There's so many Christians that struggle with stuff that they're so used to it that they think it's a part of their walk. No, my friends, when we turn ourselves over to the Holy Ghost, we keep ourselves in the love of God. And when we keep ourselves in the love of God, we keep his commandments. The commandments come from our spirit. So there's something that I can do purposely as I am baptized with the third person of the Godhead. There's so many things that I can overcome when I incorporate this prayer language. I can keep myself. God Almighty, I get excited. I can keep myself in the love of God, which I can keep his commandments, keeping myself in the love of God when I get filled with the Holy Ghost and I turn myself over to that prayer language that is unknown to the world, that is scoffed at by the world, but it's okay. I know what it's doing for me. How else? Teaching purposes, I'm going to give you a fact. How else could I have 20/20 eyesight and go to 5% eyesight and have peace in my life without going ballistic and crazy? Not only does he bring that peace during the storm, but the peace in my spirit is saying, son, it's just a matter of time. How you want to know what it feels like not to see? Close your eyes and walk around like that for a year. That's basically my life. But the anchor holds, my friends. The anchor. the anchor holds. Have I had bad days because I can't see right now? Yeah. But the good is far outweighing the bad. It has to. Jude said, but ye beloved, meaning to those that were born again, sanctified, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't stop that verse there. You don't do it justice. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How? By praying in the Holy Ghost. John said, and this is the love of God. John said it. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. And this is the love of God. What John saying? This is the love of God. What Jude say? Keep yourself in the love of God. John said, and this is the love of God. Jude said, keep yourself in the love of God. Same statement. Same words. But John added an extra dimension. He said, keep his commandments. You abide in the love of God. And Jude said, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. The love of God is keeping his commandments. His commandments come from my born-again spirit. There's so many things that the church has put up with. Teachers, preachers, praise and worship leaders, their strongholds in people's lives and in mine still. I'm still purging, man. That people, they're so accustomed to doing that they think there's no way out there. They're born again, filled with the Spirit of God, but there's certain things that men do, that women do, that have so consumed them in their Christian walk that they don't think that there's a way out of them things anymore. Oh, my friends, that's a good sounding logical lie from the pits of hell. It makes sense. Well, this must, it's going to be like this, Pastor Bronk, the rest of my life because I can't shake it. So it must be a part of my life. God, no. God, no. To the 12th power, if there's such a thing. God, no. Do you really think that Jesus Christ came, God manifest in the flesh, came for me to believe the testimony of God the Father, for me to believe that Jesus is the Christ and to confess him with my mouth and believe in my heart? Do you really think that his love stopped there? Do you really think he just came, manifested himself, manifested forth his glory? I am the Son of God. Homer, receive me. I receive you. Do you really think that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Christ died, rose again, ascended to heaven. You think he left me there? You really think he left us there without giving us an earnest of our inheritance, without giving me something that could mortify the deeds of the body? Do you really think that God the Father, in the love that he is, the love that he is, not the love that he walks in, but the love that he is. Do you really think that he would leave me there to struggle with certain things the rest of, for 80 years? Or would he give me something that I could incorporate and that would work? Guaranteed, me and you, it would work to keep us in the love of God, where we could eradicate and mortify those damnable things that have held on to most Christians for their whole life. No, there is an absolute positive place of absolute freedom in the Father if you do the Word of God, my friends. Listen to what he said, if you have ears to hear. But ye beloved, those of you that are born again, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. The proof is this. That word is true because it's true. That's just the bottom line. It doesn't need my vote. I don't have to press that verse and try to convince you of that verse that it's true. It's true whether I believe it or whether you believe it. It's true. I can't. My opinion doesn't matter about that verse. I'm going to go into a commentary, now my own commentary. I know what praying in tongues. And one of my good friends here to the other day, he said, you need an interpreter to pray in tongues. And he, good friend, and we're going to talk about it. And that's true, but there's diversities of tongues. There's different kinds of tongues. You do need an interpreter for a certain kind of tongues. But my friend's hungry, and we're going to talk. But it has changed my life. It has absolutely changed my life. And I can say this with a, and it's going to be clean. I was born again and still struggled with pornography, still struggled with it. And I won't go into detail because there might be little kids here, but you're not dumb. I was born again and still struggled with pornography. I thought, my God, this must be the way of life for me. I just can't kick this to the curb. But then I heard a message on praying in tongues. And I said, what the heck? I'll give it a shot. What do I got to lose? I'll give it a shot. What do I got to lose? I'm bittersweet anyway. I'm double-minded right now. I'll give it a shot. So then I heard the message on what praying in tongues did for you. Wait a minute. I haven't played that in a week. Wait a minute. It's been 3 weeks. Ooh. Pastor Dave and Pastor Bronk were right. Okay, I'll add another little 15 minutes to my prayer. Along with worship, we know that, and fasting and reading our Bibles, we know that. Wait a minute. A few months went by. No movies. Wait a minute. Years have gone by. No movies. You know why? Because I incorporated a prayer language. And I walked into and I kept the love of God. And there's other areas in my life that I'm still purging. What are they? Like Gary says, none of your business. If you tell me 3 years, I'll tell you one of mine. No, tell me 5 years, I'll tell you one of mine. But I might lie to you when I tell you the one of mine. My point is this, my friends. You know this is a common message here. This is a common message here. And it's different. But I judge this. My commentary is this. What it has done inside of me. My wife can tell you. I'm not going to. This message has changed my life. I'm sure you have issues in your life. Keep purging. Keep purging. Keep purging. What do? I hear the Bible all day long and I pray in tongues and I worship God. I fast. I haven't done it lately, but I know it's coming. It's brewing in me again. Yeah. But I spend time with Jesus. But those tongues are the majority of my day underneath my breath. Mortifying. Put into death the deeds of the body. Keep yourselves in the love of God. John said, and this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. you know to do right, but there's some certain things in believers' lives that we struggle with. The things, the infirmities that you struggle with is when this prayer language comes along and it deals with that weakness and that infirmity in your life. If you give yourself over to it. Just like you were freed from sin the day you were born again, this prayer language, as it is incorporated by me and you, will keep us in the love of God. And if we're kept in the love of God, we keep his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we're abiding in the unction. And if we're abiding in the unction, we're keeping his word. And if we're keeping his word, we're having fellowship with him. And if we're having fellowship with him, we are not walking in darkness. And when we're not walking in darkness, we're walking in the light. We're walking according to the new nature that's created in true love, true righteousness and holiness. I will not tell you to walk in love. I've learned from the best, from my pastor here. I won't tell you to walk in love without showing you out of God's word how to walk in love. I never thought I could keep my sanity, peace in my heart, seeking God like I never had before for teaching purposes with about 5% eyesight. I like what Miss Barbara said one time. The devil overplayed himself with me. He overplayed himself. Estúpido. He overplayed himself. He overplayed himself. And the peace that I have is not only sustaining me through this temporary ordeal, but the peace is reiterating to me. You have an inheritance, boy. Keep going. Keep going. What you're looking for has been prophesied. Did you do the bell? When? Okay. What I'm looking for has been prophesied by Isaiah and fulfilled by Christ Jesus. He who bore my sickness, listen to me, he bore my sickness and he carried my pains. My friends, he has come to sozo us, to save us, not only from the condemnation, from the lake of fire, but to sozo us from infirmities, to sozo us from premature death, to sozo us from the works of the enemy, if we just believe. If we just believe. Amen. So weep not. You can keep yourselves in the love of God. You can rid yourselves of those things in your life that you know need not be there. It's nobody's business what your stronghold is, but you and the Holy Ghost. And I promise you, my friends, he will purge you of that filth if you stay in there long enough. If you stay in there long enough. Think about it. If you have ears to hear. And I can't, I'm not going to go into it tonight. There's a reason Paul said, I thank my God. I thank my God. I pray in tongues more than ye all. He said, yet in the church, in a corporate gathering like this, I'd rather speak 5 words of my understanding that I might teach others than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue that I might teach others also. As the Holy Ghost taught me, Church at Corinth, I'm going to teach you also what the Holy Ghost taught me. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. It'd be to our best interest to give the writings of this man an ear. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. 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 Keep yourselves in the love of God. Amen.